Thank you, music team and choir this morning. Children's Church, you're dismissed at this time, so you can go ahead and make your way back to Children's Church. Ask the rest of us who are here to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. And as you're turning your Bibles, hey, guy, how are you, bud? Good to see you. But anyways, you open your Bibles. Just a couple of prayer concerns I should have mentioned a little earlier, but I'll mention now. Robert Tyra is having a pretty significant back surgery tomorrow morning. He'll be there at 9 o'clock, and the surgery should happen somewhere around 11. So we want to pray for him. Carol Wilhelmy is having her thyroids removed, correct? And that's Tuesday. And Sean Rudd is having surgery also Tuesday, so we have plenty to pray for. Amen. So, and I know that you will be praying for them. I'm only going to read one verse this morning. But listen, it's one of my favorite verses, but I must confess I have a lot of favorites. But just one verse, verse 26, listen to what it says. Matthew chapter 19, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you. We thank you again for this sweet time of worship that you've given us to be able to sing praises to your name and to sing, I guess, what my favorite hymn is, how great you truly are. God, thank you. We praise you. We love you. Again, God, I ask you to give me all that's needed to preach, trusting you to not only anoint me, but also to anoint each of us by opening our hearts and making us receptive to your word and providing all the faith we need, Lord, to be able to apply these words to our heart and to our lives with the sole purpose, God, of seeing you exalted, to seeing you honored and glorified. And we trust that that's what will take place today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Impossible. I will often pray, God, take the possible out of the impossible. Many of you have heard me pray that on many times, that we have a God who is able to take the possible out of the impossible. Aren't you thankful for that? That we have a God who is able to take the possible out of the impossible. That He can do all things. Obviously, He'll do nothing outside of His perfect will. But if it's within His will, there's absolutely nothing that our God can't do. And we ought to be excited about that. He is the God who takes the possible out of the impossible. But, you know, when we think about all these things and we begin to, you know, God has done many, many great works. And, of course, we always give the Lord all the credit and all the praise and all the glory because we know and we recognize that He doesn't need any of us to do anything because He is God. Amen? But having said that, God has chose, in His perfect way, He has chosen to use people like you and like me in order to do His work. And so we're going to talk about this subject, and we're going to relate it to this theme that we've been talking about the last couple of Sundays on the theme of service. God wants us to be servants to His kingdom. We are to be kingdom focused. We are to live according to His purposes and His plan. But in order for you and I to be able to do this, it requires one little word. The only way that you and I will ever see God take the possible out of the impossible is by faith. In fact, the Bible would tell us that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That word, impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So in other words, now think about this. It says that in another place, whatever we do, if it's not by faith, it is sin. Whoa. Whatever we do, it doesn't say just church stuff. It says everything that we do, if it's not done by faith, it is sin. Let that sink in. Why do we, as we use the phrase, bless the food? We don't really ask God to bless the corn. What we're really acknowledging when we say we bless the food, God, thank you for your provision. We wouldn't have corn to eat if you were not the provider of that. So even when we partake of this meal, let us do so out of faith. Because recognizing that God is the provider. If you have an income, it's not because you're great. It's because God is good. God is graceful. God is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who provides. He is the one who makes it possible. And so everything that we have, everything that we do, I'm telling you that the reason I'm able to preach today without the seat is because God has so allowed. Does that mean that I'll make it through the whole service? No, it doesn't. But for at this moment, anything that I do, anything that we do, that if it's not by faith, it's actually displeasing to God. Romans 14:23, I've already said it. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Or we might look to another verse. The just shall live by faith. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the only way that you'll be found just before the Lord. When a person receives Christ as Savior and Lord, the Bible teaches that God puts the righteousness of Christ into the person who trusts Him as Savior and Lord. And so it's in the name of Christ, it's by the power of His Holy Spirit that we are enabled, the just shall live by faith. And so starting this sermon, we have seen the significance of faith. Faith is important. We are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace, you might say that faith is the activating agent that God uses to usher in His grace and His mercy upon the person who trusts Him as Savior and Lord. Now, I've learned in my life, at least as a pastor and as a believer, that whatever a man tries to do is impossible. But by faith, all things are possible. And I believe that the Lord has some challenges for us that for our near future. I think that He's wanting to do some pretty grand things, if you will, through the people of First Baptist Church. And I believe that. But I also believe this, that these grand things that I'm talking about will be unachievable for you and I to complete. We'll not be able to make these things or put these things into practice. We'll never see them come to fruition unless we trust and rely, depend upon the God of heaven to see them through. In other words, every time God gives a vision, He does so in such a way that as we look to what we need to do, we'll say, man, it's impossible. There's no way we can do that. But God is the God who takes the possible out of the impossible. That all things are possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, that's pretty small, that we can move mountains. Brother Drew mentioned it in his prayer, talking about moving these mountains. And again, these mountains, you may have an addiction this morning. And you've tried every known thing that you can come with, every process, every counseling, every program that the government can come up with. But the government isn't the fix for your problem. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the fix for your problem. You surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, all things are possible. In Him. Not in me, not in anybody else, not in a counselor, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what your burden, no matter what your pain, no matter what your situation is, if you can somehow muster the faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll see victory. God will move that mountain. So, our text that I've read rests in faith of our God. So again, for by faith all things are possible. For us to see the possible in the impossible, we must be saturated with faith. Not just faith in anything, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have faith, yeah, but it's in nothing. But you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cannot and will not remain the same. You cannot and will not remain the same if you put your trust and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know. I can use that same phrase. You don't know me. You don't know my past. You don't know my sin. You don't know my hang-ups. You don't know how messed up and how sorry I was. Let me change that. How messed up and sorry I am. But God is good. God, I'm telling you that I was the least likeliest to be a preacher in my graduating class. But God can do what God does. He can change hearts. See, again, y'all don't know me. And so you look, yeah, but you're a preacher, you don't understand all this stuff. I'm telling you, I do know. I've lived on your side of the road. But when God rattled my cage, He moved me to the other side of the road. And I will tell you that in Jesus Christ, there's no way I'd ever want to go back to the other side of the road. I was the possible that God took out of the impossible and radically changed. And He'll change you this morning if you'll trust Him. So we're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about a saturated faith. We're going to talk about a saturated service. We're going to talk about how God wants to take the possible out of the impossible in your life, but also in the life of our church. Now remember, this is key. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We can't fulfill God's plans outside of faith. We can't effectively pray outside of faith. Now, you can pray. You can come up with the greatest of words. You can awe people with your language. But if you're praying without faith, you're just, what is it, sounding cymbal? A clanging cymbal, I think is what it says. In other words, all you're doing is making a bunch of noise. You remember the Pharisee in the Scriptures? He prayed all day long. But the Scripture implies that God doesn't hear a single word they prayed, because they prayed outside of faith. They prayed based on their own goodness, rather on the goodness and mercy and power of an Almighty God. And in the comparison, Jesus talked about the sinner who couldn't even look to heaven. All he could come up with, "Lord, forgive me, a sinner." And God heard his prayer, changed his life. And I'm telling you that if you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, put your hope and trust in Him and cry out to Him, that He'll move mountains and He'll handle and deal with those circumstances and situations. You got a burden, you give it to Christ and He will respond. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, cast your burdens on Him, for He cares for you. But you got to believe. You got to trust. You got to have faith. And one last thing, we can't expect God to reveal His vision and lead us to do what His will is. And that if we as a people don't have a strong faith in the Lord. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to talk about what God's plans are for us. We're going to look at where God has taken us. And then we're going to look where God is taking us. Each one related to faith. And the first thing I want us to look at is what God's plans are for us. Now, first of all, the Bible says that God's plans are to prosper us. Did you know that the Bible says that? Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. Listen to what it says. It should be on your screen. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me." Here it is, "with all your heart." So there's a lot of people. I'll be honest. There's a lot of people. I speak to people pretty regular that they want God. They're willing to call on the Lord. They're willing to do things, but they're not willing to search for Him with all their heart. And I'm telling you that's the key to the formula. Those words there are true because of that last phrase. When you seek Him with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. But again, the phrase, all your heart. Now, in a different message, I can remember doing the study on that. And just a real casual, quick look in the concordance, I found that phrase, all your heart, or something real similar to that, used at least 36 times. And so the point is that there's significance in you and I to follow the Lord, to trust in the Lord, to believe in the Lord with all our heart. But in order for some of us to do that, we're going to have to shed some sin. There's perhaps some things that we're doing in our life. You already know. I don't need to even tell you what they are because you already know what they are. Because, see, God's good enough to convict us. God loves us enough to show us. God cares for you enough to reveal to us. And why does He do that? Because He loves you. And when you become a person that's willing to jettison your sin, to turn from your sin and turn to God and search for Him with all your heart, if you do, you will find Him according to the Word of God. In those three verses, God refers to Himself and what He's going to do 9 times. I, me, He says. So the emphasis there is that we got to make it about Jesus. A lot of us make it about ourselves, and we need to make it about Jesus. Amen? We need to make it about the Lord. Even if we are having some sort of health difficulties or some sort of family problems, even then we shouldn't make it about ourselves. We should make it about the Lord. It is His plan and His promise that He will fulfill. And His plans and promises are activated by faith. We realize them when we surrender our hearts, all of our hearts, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see within this that God wants us to reach our community. He wants us to be a catalyst for Christ in Donovan. And so we see, first of all, they're reaching the lost. That begins with prayer. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. No, I'm telling you, it begins with prayer. You want to be a great witness to the Lord, you need to be a person bathed in prayer. You need to be a person that prays for God to open your eyes, to see people the way God sees them. I'm telling you that if you and I could ever get to the point where we saw people the way God saw them, we'd be much more energetic and much more effective in our witness to the gospel as we try to reach them. I listened to a sermon this last week that was criticizing professional clergy. Man, I so agreed with that. Because sometimes the professional clergy does it all themselves. I mean, I've been to seminary. I've checked all the blocks. But I'm telling you that we're ineffective without the power of the Holy Spirit. We're ineffective without love for people. And we have to search and we need to... I mean, God, help me to love You with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Most of us will pray that. But we also need to pray, Lord, help me to love others as I love myself. Amen. We'll never impact our community if we do not fervently pray for her. An old-time evangelist went to an unchurched city to reach it for Christ. He prayed, God, give me this city. I think that's a prayer. This should be our prayer. We need to adopt this prayer. God, give us this city. Give us this county. Let not one person escape through. Let us reach this city. Let us be burdened with the lostness of our city. Let us be burdened by the overwhelming burden of sin. It's just overwhelming our community. I look around every day and I'm burdened because of how the people in our community are so devastated by sin and by our culture, by our society. I mean, it's like we teach to do wrong. We turn on TV, try to get some sort of encouragement from our leaders. Well, don't do that. You'll leave more discouraged because they can't do it right either. You know why Washington, D.C. can't get it right? Because they've left God out of the equation. You know the reason why you're having trouble getting it right? Because you're leaving the Lord out of the equation. Jabez prayed that God would expand His boundaries. We ought to pray that prayer. Caleb prayed. I love it. He's 80 years old. God, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Can you imagine an 80-year-old charge? I'm telling you, God wants to do something amongst us. But we need to pray. Evangelism must begin and continually be bathed by prayer. We got the sportsman's banquet coming up. This is an evangelistic opportunity. In fact, I have an evangelistic speaker coming, very evangelistic, coming. That's March 23rd. It's the men and guys, ladies, sorry, but we're going to try to win all the guys that we can. Amen? Here's what I'm saying before any ladies get mad. If we win the guys, the life of the ladies will be much greater. It'll be much more beneficial. You show me a happy wife, and I'll show you a born-again father or a born-again husband that loves the Lord. Because if he loves the Lord, how will he love his wife? As Christ loved the church. We need to fervently pray for the lost to come. Well, I can do that. We need to fervently pray for the lost to come and for God to put somebody or some people on our heart and mind that we might bring them. Some people, I'll pray. We need to put some feet to our prayer. God, I pray that my loved one will be saved. Have you ever told them about Jesus? God, I pray that my neighbors, Lord, send the pastor to my neighbor. Have you ever considered going to talk to your neighbor? You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's great to pray and we need to pray, but are we truly praying by faith if we're unwilling to do? Faith requires footwork. Joe Bufford, our speaker, pray that God will anoint and empower him. Pray that as we begin a pretty massive advertising campaign here in just a couple of weeks, that God will use that to allow men and boys in our community to see that. We've got a lot of boys in our community that doesn't have a dad, or they've got a dad that could care less and won't lift a finger to bring them. Most of us here have 10 fingers, and we could bring them. We could stand in the gap that day. We could stand in the gap for that event. Amen? And we can bring them. Because I'm telling you, these little boys, they're not going to be saved unless they come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Easter, we're having a special Easter service at Donovan High School Gym. We need to fervently pray for our evangelist that's coming to that. Rick Corum is his name. We need to passionately pray for the unchurched in our community that God will draw them. Almost every Sunday morning, this Sunday morning was no different. I go to those back doors. God, you know every heart that is in our community. You know every person in this city. I'm asking you, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to invade their territory. They may not know why they're coming. I don't care if they know why they're coming. But I know this, that if they come, God has a plan. God has ordained that they come, that they might hear, that they might respond, that they might be saved, that they might be radically changed. Amen. That's why I pray that. Lord, you know them. In fact, this morning I walked back there the second time. I said, Lord, it's 8:15. That's 2 whole hours they have to get ready. Bring them! And then help us to be faithful to God with how we minister and how we reach and how we deal with God's Word and the holy things of God, as well as just being people who will love them. We need to trust the Lord to glorify Himself in the lives of those we pray for, invite, and or bring to our Easter service. And don't forget, it's not just Sunday morning. We're going to be back here Sunday night through Wednesday night in an Easter revival. And that's for the church. That's for you. That's for me. The whole concept, what does revival mean? It means revived. May I be honest with us for a moment? I think some of us could stand a little bit of being revived. Don't you? Christians just been saved, they've been vived, I guess. But we need revived. And I hope we'll take that serious, because I'm telling you, God is giving us one of the best preachers in America on that weekend, those 4 days. I've heard him, and I've heard probably more preachers than the majority of us have. And he's one of the best preachers in America. And he's going to be here Easter Sunday. Isn't that awesome? We need to be praying. We also need to pray for laborers for the harvest. That's what Jesus said. Look, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore for laborers for the harvest. We need to pray that God will raise up laborers for the harvest. Discipling the saved. God's blessed us with right now media and the resources for small groups. We need to take full advantage of this resource. Sunday school ought to be a priority. Let me say that again. Sunday school ought to be a priority. We ought to want to come to Sunday school. Why should we want to come to Sunday school? Because it's one more opportunity that God is giving us to learn more about His wonderful and blessed Son. His name is Jesus. And we ought to want to come to hear more about Jesus. We should seek a deeper passion and hunger for the Word. We ought to commit to Sunday. Oh, here we go. And Wednesday evening services. Why? So you can hear a preacher blab? No. So that you can help the preacher's ego? No. So that you get to hear more and more and more. I mean, is there really anybody here that would admit that when it comes to what you know and embrace about Jesus, that your cup is runneth over? That you don't have room for any more to knowledge and any more spiritual growth? None of us would admit to that. Therefore, we ought to take the opportunities that God gives us to continue our mission, the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28. Go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? God wants us to reach people. Acts 1:8, that we're to be His witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the uttermost parts of the world. We talked last week in chapter 2 of Acts, 42 verses 47. And we talked about the unifying service in that message. But in that passage, we find the five key areas of ministry and purposes that every church, a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is. There's a lot of people who call themselves churches, but they don't preach Jesus. If you don't preach Jesus, you're not a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word church means called out by God, called out by the Spirit of God, empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what qualifies for a church. If you know Jesus and you're preaching Jesus and you're trying to live out Jesus, in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, give us and explain that to us. Now let's look briefly where God has taken us. I got here about little more than five years ago now. And I think most of us who were here when I got here understands that our church was struggling. And I don't know if you recall this or not. You can make me feel good. But anyway, I started a series of messages that I entitled Rebuilding the Wall. And I preached from the book of Nehemiah. Not long, just a couple of months after I got here, I began preaching that series. And because I came and Rhonda and I mean, we spent a lot of time praying. I was looking, and the church facilities, they were in disarray, but that's the minor part. I looked at our spiritual condition. I prayed about that, and I looked at the spiritual condition of our community. And that reminded me of Nehemiah. It reminded me of Nehemiah when Nehemiah got word of how the people of Jerusalem were, and he was heartbroken. He was overwhelmed. He was just disheartened. He was broken. And we find in the Word that he wept. And when's the last time we've wept over a lost family member? And by the way, your lost family member's not going to heaven if they don't know Jesus. When's the last time we've wept over that? But in turn, God moved. And we began taking God at His Word and praying specifically for God to help us rebuild the walls, speaking of the people, and even, yes, even our facilities. As Nehemiah was brokenhearted, some of us became brokenhearted. And God began to change lives. The numbers speak. In fact, I added these like five times. The last time Drew asked me, I told him wrong. And so I re-added them. We've baptized 129 since I've been here. We've had 96 additions. We've had hundreds, literally hundreds more. There's churches all through our community that have baptized people because the ministries that God has used to reach people. We finished 2018 right at $21,000 above budget needs. Had you asked me this 5 years ago, if this was possible, I would have said impossible. But with God, He takes the possible out of the impossible. The ministries, the new Sunday school starts, the new discipleship classes. I mentioned the new Right Now Media. The Jammed is growing. The VBS enrollment has grown. The morning worship services are growing. The Wednesday night attendance is growing. The youth ministries have expanded. Not five, just a few weeks ago, if you would have asked me if this was possible, I would have said, no, I don't think that that's possible. But with God, all things are possible. The missions speak. I see an increased desire, an increased passion, a stronger urge, a new sense of importance as it relates to missions. We've sent a multiple. We've got a couple of people who have basically surrendered to the Lord as it relates to disaster relief, and they're going all over and all the time doing that. We've got people working right now. We've got a missions pastor. We're working on missions plans and goals that are being established. Over $37,000 was given in 2018 to missions alone. We got the Deacon Ministry Fund. We use that and we're meeting the needs of our people. There's many people in the sound of my voice that God has used to meet your need through this mission of the Deacon Ministry Fund. Our first love missions, we exceeded the goal. Again, what's my point? With God, it's possible. It's possible with God. Let's trust God. Let's grow in God. Let's call out to God because He can do all things. And I tell you, I pray regularly that God will make us more mission-minded, more mission-spirited as it relates to giving towards mission. Because why? Why are missions so important? Because missions, they are the heartbeat of God. I mean, Christ's mission is our mission. And where God is taking us. Where He wants us to go. Outreach and evangelism. We should never wane in that, but only increase. I've already talked about the different things that we're working on. We're looking to start a young men's ministry, ages 10 through 13. My goal is to be able to target. We have a lot of young boys in our community that have no parental figure as it relates to their father. But even those who have their fathers, they'll benefit out of this ministry. And here's my vision, that we'll have 10 through 13-year-old boys. So that means they'll be with us. A 10-year-old boy, he'll be with us 4 years. And we're going to be developing studies. We're going to be developing ministries that teach them. I'm going to talk about chivalry. They're going to get a lesson from me about opening the door for a woman. They're going to get a lesson on the importance of being a man. We're going to take them out and we're going to go camping and we're going to shoot guns and we're going to go fishing and we're going to shoot bows and we're going to do these things and we're going to teach them how to be a man. We have a culture today that's teaching boys to be girls and girls to be boys, and it's the church's job to reverse that role, at least in our community. And so we're going to work on that. But it's going to take a vision. It's going to take faith. It's going to take work. It's going to take discipline. But we're working on it now. Need you to support us. We're going to continue our ministry, continue to enhance our worship ministry, our Sunday school, our children's ministry, Vacation Bible School, and the Jammed. Along with me, I pray regularly that God will send us a God-called children's director to get this going. And of course, obviously, continue to enhance our student ministry. And Drew's working on things now since he's come on full time. He's looking at some of the different school systems and working out plans, even as we speak, to engage in those differing school systems, such as Naylor and such, to make certain. Donovan, we between our church and other churches, there are a lot of churches that are engaged, but some of the other schools, it doesn't seem so much. And we're focusing, we're developing plans, and it's going to require some of us to get alongside, because I don't know, we can only divide him so far. Amen. And so we're going to try to get into these schools and reach as many of these kids as we can. We're going to enhance our missions, increase our missions giving. First Love Missions, 2019 goals are right out here on the table. We've increased that. We don't ever want to stay where we are. God forbid that we stay where we are. Amen? Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong, those are two of our most important missions. Lottie Moon is a Southern Baptist Missions Fund that supports and funds our nearly 5,000 international foreign missionaries. It takes a lot of money to field 5,000 missionaries. And the Annie Armstrong funds the North American. That's just the United States and Canada. And that funds, and we have hundreds or a couple of thousand of those missionaries. It takes a lot of money. Percentages, I hope to, and praying about us being able to increase the percentages of missions giving. To allocate percentage to our missions giving for mission trips. Increase our missions going. Our Jerusalem. We have people right now, Billy and Carol, and some of them are working right now trying to develop a plan so that we can reach and set up some backyard by. I don't know exactly what we're going to do yet, but there's people working right now to try to start some summer missions right here in our own community. And we're already doing the bread shed and many other things. But why should we settle for what we're doing when God wants us to do it? Guys, we're running out of time. Christ is coming. And if they don't know Jesus when He comes, it's going to be rough going. I know Him. He's going to snatch me out of here. Going to do that real quick. Right to heaven, right to His presence. But you don't know Him, then you're going to be left behind. You ever read that series, Left Behind? Judea, Missouri. Samaria, United States. Uttermost parts of the world. We got to go. Well, we need to worry about Donovan. Well, we are worrying about Donovan. But God gives us just as much emphasis to go to the uttermost parts of the world as He does right here in Donovan. And by the way, in relation to that argument, you're already here. And the Bible says that when it says go and make disciples, that literally means as you're going, as you go through this, let me give you a clear picture to what that says. As you're going through life, day-to-day routines, you need to be winning people to Jesus Christ. That's what that means. As you're going through your daily routines that we call life, you need to be making disciples. That's you. That's not just me. That's not just Drew. Make me feel good. Amen? That's all of us. We have that mandate. Now, everything that we've talked about in closing, it requires faith. Why? Why? Because, again, the Bible outlines, the just shall live by faith. We have monumental tasks in front of us. We cannot fulfill them without faith. God gives monumental tasks for that reason. It requires us to trust on Him. It requires us to depend upon Him. For with us it is impossible. With Him all things are possible. The greater the task, the more glory He receives for Himself when we respond. One of man's problems, and therefore our problem, is that the small things we try to do ourselves. But the Bible again says that whatsoever is done outside of faith is sin. Have you ever wondered that perhaps if we trusted Him in the small things, that we might not find ourselves in such big catastrophes? All these little things that we do that are not by faith, Scripture says they are displeasing to Him. Displeasing to Him. Because without faith it is impossible to please Him. Now, what we have learned is that we need to trust God, that we need to depend upon God. And this demands faith, and faith demands prayer. God desires to do great things. But in Jesus' hometown, the Bible says He could only do just a few miracles because of their unbelief. I'm often asked, does Jesus do miracles now? Like He used to? Well, the answer is yes. Well, I don't ever see them. Jesus explained that too. perhaps the reason we don't see them. We don't have faith. I believe that God wants to turn our community upside down for the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ. But in order for Him to do that, the way He has chosen to work, you and I need to be saturated by faith if we're to be effective in the kingdom work. Faith begins with salvation. Some of what I've said may not make a whole lot of sense to some because you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord. Faith in these things that I'm talking about begins with a trust in Jesus Christ. You'll never be used by God unless you belong to God. And belonging to God means trusting Him as Savior and Lord. And He says, He makes it real simple. He says, if you call upon Him, you will be saved. Yeah, that's pretty simple. Think about that. Call upon Him, and you will be saved. Remember the Philippian jailer? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? He didn't say, well, you got to know the 17 steps. No, he said, look, you put your trust, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's a promise. In other words, if you earnestly put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ, He has to save you. Why? Because that's what He said. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His Word never changes. Confess Him with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. That's true for you this morning.